I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to his word.
Here now reading from Exodus 20, 1 through 17. Then God spoke all these words, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water underneath the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents to the third and fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do anything to work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in the 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Honor your father and your mother, so your days may be long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not cover your neighbor's house. You shall not cover your neighbor's wife, or male or female slave, or ox, or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor." So endeth the reading.
Thank you, Dr. Martin. Appreciate the reading. You know, so many of us have heard and hopefully read the Ten Commandments, and it's as though there's nothing new. But I submit to you that there's a lot new, and there's a lot that we need to be looking at when it comes to the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. The verses just read are often called the Decalogue or the Ten Commandments, and for obvious reasons, there are Ten Commandments. And if we just read these verses as such, I believe we're missing the message that the writers intended. And frankly, I believe Jesus felt the same way, and we're going to see later that he actually pointed out that there is a difference. On more than one occasion, Jesus pointed out that we must keep in mind, and I will give you references, we must keep in mind that men wrote these. And so many of them were attributed to God, which may quite frankly have been the men's ideas. And that's hard for some of us to accept. But when you see what Jesus says, maybe it'll help. Because I want you to think about verse 5, which Dr. Martin read. Here's one for you. "I am the Lord your God. I am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents to the third and fourth generation of those who reject me." Now, take this and listen to Jesus when he says, in Matthew 6:26, "Look at the birds of the air, they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than these?" Or you can go to Mark 12:31. "The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." You see a conflict here? Then in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, so everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life." Let us not forget also that you heard in the Ten Commandments that you should do nothing on the Sabbath. But what did Jesus do? He healed. And then he turned around and said, "That's just not it. You still have to work. You still have to help people." If you took the Ten Commandments literally, then Jesus is saying, don't, because there's another way to look at these. And it's not only Jesus, but even Paul takes the Old Testament to task. Romans 8:31-39. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? It is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. You listen to the Ten Commandments. It's pretty harsh. It presents us with words of identification. This is what I believe, and many others believe, that the Ten Commandments are intended to do. Words of identification and relationship. Notice it says, I am your God. I am your God. God claims God's people. This passage speaks of you and your. It is saying God is in relationship. That's an important part because Jesus resonates that. God is in relationship with us. It tells us the Hebrews and all of us are in community. Although spoken to Moses, God's words are to be passed on to everyone. So, we are the people of God. And this is reciprocal. We are the people of God, and God is the God of the people. That establishes a relationship, which is what the Ten Commandments are intended to do, is to establish a relationship with the people. We are to be a community of God's people, God's community. Relationship established. I'm going to shock you here in a minute. And in this community, there are rules, Ten Commandments, specific to Old Testament times, some not. But let's see what Jesus says. Here comes the shocker. If you hadn't already read this, I hope you have. But if you haven't, Matthew 19:16-19. Then someone came to him and said, Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? And he said to him, Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments. He said to him, Which ones? Keep the commandments. Which ones should I keep? And Jesus said, You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. 5 out of 10. Those are the ones you keep. Right? But then he adds one. Also, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus gives us 6 commandments. The Old Testament gives us 10. Of those 10, Jesus says, keep 5 of them. You heard it. It's what he says. Keep those 5. Notice Jesus only lists 5 of 10 when asked which ones, and then adds that new one. Understand, this is not some misquote or some revision to the text. This is what Jesus said. Of the commandments, Lord, which ones? 5. It's hard to follow, isn't it? Here's the situation many of us find ourselves in. We desire to be godly people so we may try to follow the Ten Commandments. To some, these commandments are rigid and difficult, and people just fall away because they can't do all 10. But folks, you've heard me say this, that's the Old Testament. We're a people of the New Testament, and Jesus says, here's 5, and these 5 you can keep. But that being said, even for people who just go with the 5 plus 1, it's not easy. The teachings and commandments of Jesus are also rigid and difficult to keep. Even cutting the 10 commandments to 5 plus that 1 presents a challenge for us. If we choose the 6 over the 10, there is one more thing we find in the New Testament teachings we do not find in the Old Testament teachings. Read it over and over. This is what you'll find. Something we find in New Testament, not in the Old Testament, forgiveness. 10 commandments. You mess up, I'll kill you. Don't do it. I will visit death upon you, your children, your children's children, and everyone after that, we hear in the Old Testament and the 10 Commandments. Not with Jesus. God is a God of forgiveness. You're forgiven. Thank goodness. You don't really have to show your hands, but I'm wondering how many of you have actually followed all 10 Commandments your entire lives. Is there anyone here who hasn't made a mistake? Is there anyone here who has never needed forgiveness? You'll get it with the Lord Jesus Christ. Not one of us here, I believe, lived a blameless life, even if we did things we weren't aware of. Even if it was before we knew Christ, we made mistakes, which is why the forgiveness of sins Jesus offers is so incredibly important, and why we need to move to the and look at what Jesus tells us to do. Following the example of Jesus is critical to influencing others to follow Jesus. And if we get it right, that's a big if we get it right, we'll be doing God's work on earth just by being ourselves. This is a story that when I was reading a book, I came across, and I find it very much along the lines of what we're talking about. A little boy named Adam wanted to be like his friend Bobby. Adam loved the way Bobby walked and talked. Bobby, however, wanted to be like Charlie. Something about Charlie's stride and accent intrigued him. Charlie, on the other hand, was impressed. Charlie wanted to look and sound like Danny. Danny, of all things, had a hero as well. It was Adam. He wanted to be just like Adam. So Adam was imitating Bobby, who was imitating Charlie, who was imitating Danny, who was imitating Adam. Turns out all Adam had to do is be himself. And if we're following the 5 commandments, we just have to be ourselves. If we are in line with love, forgiveness, compassion, and understanding of our Lord and Savior, I believe we will find others want to be like us. How many of you today would go out these doors and tell someone, if you make a mistake, God's going to punish your children, your children's children, and your children's children's children? And after you do that, how many of them are going to come through the door and say, can't wait to be a member. I want to follow this guy. Jesus said no. No, the commandment says keep the Sabbath. Don't do anything. Jesus says no. I'm going to heal on the Sabbath. I'm still going to do something because people need help. And that's greater than any commandment. Jesus says compassion and love, all of that is so important. So I'm going to tell you, keep 5. And then I'll add 1 for you. If we can see in our hearts and minds the value God places on life, as in you shall not murder, and the trust God wants our community to have, as in you shall not steal, then live in such a way our community characterizes the life and trust that God shows in us. Then we will be living the commandments that our Lord Jesus Christ wants us to live. Three pastors got together for coffee one day and found that all of their churches were bat infested. So they wanted to figure out how they could get rid of this infestation of bats. One said, "I got so mad, I took a shotgun and fired at them. It made holes in the ceiling, but did nothing to the bats." I tried trapping them alive," said the second. "Then I drove 50 miles before releasing them. They beat me back to the church." "I haven't had any more problems," said the third pastor. "What did you do?" asked the others. "I simply baptized them and I never saw them again." That so tells the story of the community of faith. People will come through the door, say, "I want to be a member." They get baptized. But folks, then they hear the Ten Commandments and they hear people repeat that. Then they may hear what Jesus says on that and says, "Keep five." We don't want to make it any more difficult than it already is. And as I said, if your intent is to emulate, to be like Jesus, you've already got a challenge. Take the Ten Commandments and set them over here and say, "I'm having enough trouble just doing what He wants me to do. I don't need that." And that's what Jesus said too. I promise you, if you read your Bible, you'll find there's no misquoting here. I'm giving you the actual words of the Lord Jesus. Keep five. When I was in the Navy, Vietnam was raging. What I found is a community. And that community, we swore that no one would be left behind. And we were tight as a community. That's the community that Jesus wants for us. He says, be in community. The Ten Commandments, in fact, speaks of life and trust. Do you trust your fellow member with your life? We did in the Navy. Do you know that when you come here, you have life in Jesus Christ? That you're going to find love and compassion? That you're going to find forgiveness? Sometimes we make mistakes, and I've heard of churches that turn their backs on people. And I'm telling you right now, that has nothing to do with the teachings of our Lord. We don't turn our backs. Love, compassion, forgiveness. It's tough enough. I would ask that if you would like to have a church, and I believe we do, that is full of life and full of trust, that we keep the five commandments plus one. And that one is the greatest of all, Jesus says. Love your neighbor as yourself. If we do that, we've got quite the community. A community of love and trust. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we come together, often we find ourselves wanting to judge others. Often we may even find ourselves wanting to punish someone forever and ever. That is not your way. That is not what you're about, and we know that, Lord, and forgive us for the times in which we judge others so harshly. We know that you do not visit death and pestilence and anything else on us from generation to generation. You are a loving and forgiving God, and we give you thanks and praise for filling us with your Spirit, with your life, and with your trust. Be with us and guide us, for we ask this in your Son's name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.